The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. Call 66 13 68. On the text, it's 166 177. WhatsApp, same number, just put 07624 in front of it. And your email, studio@manxradio.com. David Ashford, the island's former Treasury Minister, delivered a statement to Keys this morning on his recent resignation. Mr. Ashford left his position in Comyn last week following a backlash over the results of an employment tribunal which found the island's former medical director was unfairly sacked while he was health minister. Well, if you were expecting an apology, try and spot one. He did, however, reiterate his claim that he played no part in Dr. Ranson's sacking and shared his thoughts on a planned review of culture within the government.
I want to make it absolutely clear, Mr. Speaker, that as far as I'm concerned, at all times I have acted appropriately and within the Government Code and Timbal Members Code. But ultimately, under the system of government we have, the Minister is responsible for the department, whether they have been involved in a particular decision-making process or not. When something goes wrong within a department, ultimately it is the minister who must bear responsibility for that. Also, when a single minister becomes the centre of continual speculation that is drowning out all the rest of government's important messaging and is potentially seen by some others as a stumbling block to the much-needed change that must come, then whether or not that minister has acted appropriately becomes completely irrelevant. It was always clear that it was not going to be an instant change to change attitudes and behaviours that have been embedded for many years, even, dare I say it, decades. But what is fundamentally clear is this needs to be a watershed moment for government as an organisation. If people inside or outside this Honourable House think that by changing a few individuals here or there that will bring about the change required, they are sorely mistaken, Mr. Speaker. As I have previously stated over the last few years in both this House and another place, culture is something that flows through an organisation like a river, running all the way from the top to the ground at every level, and every so often changing a few people at the top does not combat or resolve the issues. We know that, Mr. Speaker, as that approach has been tried many times before, and here we are discussing it again today. And also to reinforce the point, over my 4 years as Minister for Health and Social Care, the entire personnel of the senior management of that department changed, yet still here we are today. One thing that does not help with the challenge of cultural change is the divided nature of the department structure across government. It leads by its very nature to suggest to the public that ministers are all powerful and control every aspect of decision making of their departments, knowing and having approved personally of every decision made, large or small. Those of us who've been ministers know the reality is far from this, Mr. Speaker. When it comes to employment matters, ministers quite rightly must not involve themselves in day-to-day management and employment issues.
David Ashford, former Treasury Minister, and before that, of course, DHSC Minister, on his resignation. I just wonder what your thoughts are and what do you read between the lines, because there was stuff between the lines, wasn't there? Text, email or call for thoughts on that. Julian's first with us on Man in Line. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Just a very, very quick follow-up to the conversation that was had yesterday. I had a look at the National Oceanography Centre in Liverpool, who has extensive tide gauge measurements for all over the world. It's at the real... It's an absolute treasure of information. So they've got Port Erin tide gauge on their site. So I had a little look. So I went back 30 years because we're sort of talking about that time scale. And I looked at the monthly measurements for Port Erin at 1992 and the latest one as well. So if you get all the monthly measures, add them up together and divide by the number of measurements, you get 7060 millimetres. So they do it in metres above an absolute zero. So 7060 is the measurement. But if you look at the latest one, it's 7054. So the mean sea level is 6 millimetres lower than it was in 92, unless the National Oceanographic Centre is printing misinformation. I don't know, but just interesting to just have a little look at that. I'm trying to make head or tail. If anybody wants to ring in and say why that might be, I'd love to know.
What's the website?
It is psmsl.org. So it's the Permanent Service Mean Sea Level database from the National Oceanographic Centre. So, yeah, psmsl.org.
We're battling an absolute welter of information, Julian, and I'm really keen to get to the bottom of who we trust and what we deduce from what we read. So what do you deduce from that?
It's interesting. They've got everywhere. They've got Indonesia, they've got Australia, they've got Scotland, they've got all the... there's a ton of them in there. And if you look back, I mean, there are a few that seem to be, you know, variable, but nothing like I can see. I mean, if you're talking 3 centimetres a decade, you'd be looking over 100 years at a 300 millimetre change. If it was, he said that it was faster in recent years. But if you actually look, say you hold it from the 60s, which is interesting because I always assumed that they were always talking about it from the Industrial Revolution in the 1800s. It doesn't stack up in terms of even the ones that are maybe a little bit higher. I mean, it's a few millimetres. I mean, it's nothing like, I mean, you know, you'd be, you know, that's a foot higher or, you know, it's a big difference.
And I think also getting any sort of perspective on the Isle of Man is difficult because we don't live in the Maldives. We're not about to be inundated by a rising sea. We don't live in the French or the Swiss Alps or the Austrian Alps where the glaciers are retreating and they have to make snow for people to ski down. So it doesn't apply to us. We don't have extreme weather on the Isle of Man. So
no.
Finding exactly, you know, what the future is going to be is more nuanced here.
Well, that's right. I mean, you know, like even Strand Street, I mean, if you step back into the 1840s, I mean, it used to be called Sand Street. And where the bank is now on Regent Street, that was a slipway straight on the beach, which is why you've got that, you know, the old seawall behind W.H. Smith's in the back lane.
Yeah.
So, of course, you know, if you think how far out it is to the new edge of the prom, I mean, the Victorians, you know, they kind of told the sea, right, we're having this bit. So it's hardly surprising if you get a storm. I mean, you know, the sea naturally wants to be up there, doesn't it?
Yeah. The Victorians didn't take no for an answer, did they?
Well, yeah, but Ramsey Marina, I mean, is there anybody from the Green Party kicking up a fuss saying if you start building out into the sea, you're going to have major problems with rising sea tides? Nobody seems to be saying anything about that.
Okay, all right, appreciate that, Julian. Thanks for that. What's the website again, you say?
It's PSMSL. So P for Peter, S for Sugar, M for Mike, S for Sierra, L for Lima.org.
Okay, appreciate that. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Andy. Bye.
All right, and Howard's with us on Man in Line. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. Just a little bit of information for your listeners. I believe next month, the post office are moving on to a different type of delivery service. We've heard of this before, but it's gone quiet. And I believe the middle to the end of June, the parcels and the letter post are going to be combined. So the same postman will be delivering both. Well, that's awkward in where I live, because you're either going to leave a parcel at the front door, which is an unsafe place if there's nobody in, or they're going to do exactly the same with a letter post at the back door, because we don't have a letterbox in the back door. And how many people have letterboxes in their back doors? They're going to have to purchase vans, and there's been a major shuffle up in the post office, sorting office and as such, as regards who's going to do what, when and why. But this is going to be instigated apparently next month. So it should be an interesting situation where how the postman bringing a parcel to our house would come down the back, because I'm living at, you know, is Anaco, and there's no traffic to the front of the house. So the parcel will have to come to the back of the house, and if there's nobody in, he would then have to leave his van and walk around the front of the house to post a letter through the letterbox.
And this starts when, how would you say?
Supposed to be next month, middle to the end of next month. I've heard about it before, and it's been discussed on your programme before, but they fell silent and hoping that the public will forget about it. But apparently, there are postmen leaving because they don't want to be involved with this, and the rounds are going to change. There are postmen leaving the Douglas and going into out-of-town areas because they don't want specific runs because they know it's going to be extremely difficult.
And what are they going to do? I mean, if they try and deliver a parcel and they can't, they'll obviously be writing the parcel letters out, won't they? The parcel cards.
Well, if they come to the back door at ours, they generally knock or ring the bell. But if there's nobody in a house, and there are an awful lot of people out working, we're lucky, I'm retired and so is my wife, but a lot of people are out working, they're going to either have a parcel left at the back door, allegedly in a safe place, but their mail, their letter post, etc., looks like it's all going to have to go to the same area, so letter post is going to be left out more or less in an open place, which, if it's a wet day, is not going to be conducive to good...
I can't see if it's raining or if it's, you know, if it's lashing down with rain or some snow or anything, surely they won't do that.
Well, they have the cards that I've called but you weren't in. Now, are they going to leave one of them and people are going to have to go up to the sorting office?
Well, there'll be queues halfway round Spring Valley if that's the case.
Exactly. So it's another one of the ill-thought-out schemes. But as I say, not only that, but to get the postman from delivering letter post, your post is going to be all hours of the day and possibly running into early evening, but they're also going to have to purchase a fleet of vans, which, with its inherent running costs, insurances, road taxes, although they're very low on the road tax, those fellas, but the cost is going to be astronomical. So what on earth are the post office thinking that's saving by changing this type of postal service?
Okay. All right, Howard. Thanks for...
So, as I say, if they're listening now, they'll already be aware of it. But just to make certain that they are covered by it, because it's going to cause a lot of chaos.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Howard.
Take off.
All right, good to talk to you. A note in from John, who said, Douglas says the post office are already delivering in this way in some places. And Dave's with us now. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
Good, thanks.
You ran a story this morning in relation to the current bus crisis, and it stated that Isle of Man Transport can't use Tours Isle of Man for various reasons. I think one of them was disability access, and the second was in relation to drivers not being able to use the ticket machines. Let's go back to 2000, when I worked at Tours Isle of Man and I ran the traffic office, and it was the late David Howard that was the Director of Public Transport. On a regular basis, each year, sometimes twice a year, David would come and meet with us, and we would take on various school runs, various midday runs to the swimming pools, etc., to assist Isle of Man Transport so that they didn't have to provide that. Now, that's all stopped now, and it's gone back to all in-house with Isle of Man Transport. So I can't see why it was all right then and it's not all right now.
And this change, when did you say?
This change, well, I left Tours Isle of Man in 2002, and I think this all changed round about when the Director of Public Transport then retired and the new director was appointed. And indeed, all work now seems to be kept in-house. The point I'm making, though, is that for every single run that's contracted out to Tours Isle of Man or indeed any other private operator, that releases a bus to provide the public service for the residents of and the people of the island, of the tourists.
Yeah.
And I just can't, it's words are beyond me why we've ended up in this situation. And also, if you go even further, if everybody notices all these silver minibuses that are all running about, Again, why is Isle of Man Transport providing that service? That used to be previously provided by taxi operators. So maybe it's time that, you know, the emperor, the current emperor of Isle of Man Transport, his empire has got too big, and he needs to give something back to the private sector to allow him to run the actual bus service.
Well, obviously, I mean, that person will think that he's acting in the best interests of Isle of Man Transport and will try and do the best for them. And if the mechanism exists, he's purely taking advantage of that mechanism. He may have not put the mechanism in, he's just taken advantage of it.
Yeah, but obviously the mechanism doesn't exist because he's having to cancel so many services.
Where do you think this is going to end up?
I don't know where it's going to end up. There is a current driver shortage right across the UK, and that's obviously affecting the Isle of Man, and we don't have agencies that we can go to similar to like they have in the UK. But at some point along the line, I think they have to have a look at their empire, and it may be a case of we need to cut our empire down to provide solely stage carriage services, which is what they're there to do in the first place.
Okay. All right. Appreciate your point. Thanks for calling.
Cheers now.
Good to talk to you. Tony's with us on Man in Line now. Hi, Tony.
Yeah, I want to follow on really from what the man's just been on said. It's empires of the various parts of the Isle of Man government that actually isn't governed. So effectively, all the departments are exactly the same as that. They all empire build. And then basically it comes to an end, like the DOI. They get rid of the chief executive, but he just carries on as it was before. And this falls in with what David Ashford was saying earlier on. He's basically taken the fall for the department's incompatibility with their supposed vision and what they're supposed to be doing.
You think David Ashford fell on his sword because of the department?
Yeah, I think undoubtedly. He should have had a bit more backbone and stood up to the people in there. But the problem is, if he did that, there'd be a war inside the government, and government doesn't like wars because that makes it public. And then all of a sudden it's, we shouldn't have done that, David. You should have had a discussion. All this rubbish about we've got to have a general agreement of everything is wrong. No business runs like that. And the government is a business, whether it likes it or not. And they need to start being more businesslike. The people that were put in for Manx Care, how did we actually appoint them? It was all secret. They just turned up and started getting paid, as far as I can remember.
Certainly there would have been a decision process. I don't know that the minister involved was involved in that or hired them. So presumably somebody within the department, HR, approved them and in they came.
So then that begs the question of the comment from the Speaker of the House who said you put a megalomaniac in charge. They're not fit for purpose. All these departments have HR departments that put the people in they like.
Well, they may have not known that she may have been a megalomaniac when they hired her.
Hmm. Yeah, but the point is that's what their job is, to find out. So they're not doing their job. And the departments need to be held to account. So my solution is dead easy. Forget about electing basically all these people as our so-called ministers, the people that are in charge. Let's elect the departments. Let's get the heads of departments out there and ask them questions rather than asking the minister, because that's the one who's feeding the minister the answer.
Now, Tony Brown on Sunday talked about the fact that the minister is the one that tells the truth to the public. They're the ones who get hired by the public, by a public mandate at the ballot box, and they're the ones that provide the... So in that context, do you think David Ashford did the right thing by resigning?
I think he's done the right thing, but he should have done it a bit earlier. As soon as this became an issue, he should have said, I feel like this is partly my fault, and I understand that it's not all my fault, but it's partly my fault, so I want to stand down and I need to take some reflection on this. Instead of that, he took on the Treasury Minister's job, which I had no problem with because he's a good Treasury Minister. Probably I don't know how Dr. Allenson is going to fit into that, because I don't think he's got any financial understanding. But David Ashford at least has been fairly honest, but it's not basically down to him. He said, I can't control this department. That's basically what it comes down to. I can't tell them what to do. And that's where it's all broken. And this comes back to the empire building across the board of DOI, who think they should decide where to put bridges, how to put money in machines at the airport. It goes on and on and on. The basic stuff is not getting done. And when somebody says, we don't want that because we're old and we can't do that, they're ignored. I think it's a disgrace. The government, I had high hopes for this government, Alf Cannon actually stepping in and saying, we've got to change the culture. I don't see it changing. I see the idea was there to start with, and it's basically dissipated. You know, ministers are supposed to give leadership. So they should be talking to those chief executives and said, right, drop that, get rid of that, we don't need that, we don't need that. We need to cost cut by X amount. Have any of them said that? I don't think so. All we want to do is keep spending money we haven't got.
Well, we'll find out, Tony. Thanks for calling today.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Andy. Bye.
Appreciate that. Eric's on Man in Line now. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Andy. I just want to talk about the TD app that the TD lot have put out now, where you pay $14.99 to be able to get all the information.
Right.
Right, I paid my $14.99 when it came out, when it went live a couple of weeks ago, and all I've been able to get is the recorded stuff that's free. I haven't been able to get onto anything that you had to pay for.
And what do you get what do you get if you pay? Do you get the live coverage, don't you? You get that free.
Yeah, live coverage, live video, isn't it? And the commentary from this new commentary team in Douglas. Anyway, when it happened, I couldn't get it, so I sent a message to Rob Collister, who's in charge of TD, and he said he would look into it. Now, he's just got back on to me this morning, and what he's told me is there is no app. The Apple Store, which where you get the apps for iPhones and iPads, they've had a problem with it, and they haven't got the app out.
It starts at the weekend, Eric.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they haven't got the app out.
They're not going to have it out. They've come across a problem, and they're not able to do it. So where do we go from there?
And you got that this morning, did you?
Yep. I've got the email this morning from Rob that said that they've run into problems and the App Store will not have, or it doesn't have, or they haven't written the app to be used by the public. Now, I assume that there must be some other way of getting onto it, but if you look, I looked it up this morning, 43% of the people who use mobile phones in the UK use iPhones. So the majority of people coming over here paying their $14.99 will have an iPhone. And what I want to know is, where do we go from here? Do I get my £14.99 back, or can I get onto it in a different way? Rob has put a couple of other things in there, which I don't understand. Maybe Manx Radio can get in touch with the Duke Marketing that's running it.
Well. And what are the two things you didn't understand that he put in?
Oh, it's too long to try and explain. It goes on with iOS stuff that I don't understand. You know, I mean, maybe we'll be able to get it through the email link. I don't know.
Okay, all right.
I haven't been able to speak to Rob because he was in Tyndall this morning.
All right, Eric.
Manx Radio.
Yeah, well, let's get on to this. If anybody knows anything more about this as to whether the TT app is working, it isn't working, whether you've had difficulty with it. Thanks for that, Eric. We appreciate that. Let's see if we can get to the bottom of it. David's on now. Hi, David.
Hi, Randy. Just a quick thing to remind everybody at the beginning, when we had the pandemic and we were over it there, don't forget Treasury borrowed substantial amount of money at a very good rate. So my question is there, all these vehicles that the post office are going to buy, we still haven't had an answer, you know, Will any of them be electric? What will be the benefit? Will we then have, if they have to deliver parcels and they have to deliver them on a Saturday, because you've got mail at the same time, will that come through the door? There'll be several questions to answer on that particular one. But I wanted to go back to the buses about, yeah. I believe, a clear case from the OFT to investigate an anti-competitive practice from the Isle of Man government bus service towards competitors, whether that be a taxi organisation, somebody that runs a minibus or a 12-seater, 15-seater or whatever. And I believe if TUIs pull themselves together there, they could have a petition or some redress there, because I think they're getting the cold shoulder from the department. Because even if, like the fellow said before, they used to chat to him, even in my time, government used to chat to organisations to find out what was going on, what would the potential be for the future, because government shouldn't be running everything, because it's probably one of the worst employers to run an organisation to provide a good service.
You just wonder what the... as I mentioned before, you know, the guy in charge of Isle of Man Transport will be putting his shoulder behind Isle of Man Transport. That's his job. He's there to act in the best interest of Isle of Man Transport. So, if I can use a motoring analogy, who's putting the handbrake on it if it affects business on the island?
Well, that's the question. The other thing that's come about today, and I feel sorry for David Ashford, because it's not... Now, the politicians themselves, it's the family and relations and stuff like that when you get the stick, and they may not know all the issues out of it. He's probably done the right thing, and in a couple of years he may be back in there, and I'm sure he won't, because he's got good skills, a good skill set there. But what it's proven now is, even Mr. Krugel now with the DOI, the buses come under the DOI, the post office comes under the chairman, and that's Chris Thomas, isn't it?
It is.
There. So if anything falls down on them, are they going to start falling on their swords and we'll have nobody left to run the business?
That's an interesting point, an interesting question, David. Thanks for that.
See you, boy. Bye.
All right, good to talk to you. The Infrastructure Minister's warned bus services may have to be cut if the shortage of drivers continues. In Keys today, the department is currently short of 10 drivers, Mr. Crookall said. This morning. Also a note in Keys this morning came out. Keys has been told that 14 Ukrainian children between the ages of 5 and 16 have been given permission to travel to the Isle of Man.
For your new bathroom, head to Paysetter, Harris Terrace, Douglas or Spring Valley. In Paysetter's fully fitted showroom, you'll find the latest bathroom products and designs, from new contemporary styles to traditional Victorian tiles, wall and ceiling panels, accessories and much more. With many ranges exclusive to Paysetter's, plus professional design advice from the experts, visit Paysetter Harris Terrace Douglas or Spring Valley.
You can get the best.
Are you a reluctant landlord? Tired of tenant hassles? Cursed by constant maintenance? Tormented by empty properties producing no rent? Want to escape these worries or get out altogether?
At Prime Lettings, we understand your pain and have bespoke solutions to release you from these problems. Ring us on 616 707 for a free confidential chat.
Prime Lettings. We're on call and on the ball at 616 707.
Registration is now open for the Buchan School and King William's College. Come and discover how your child can enjoy the perfect start at the Buchan and then benefit from academic excellence to achieve their full potential at King William's College. With average class sizes of 13, superb extracurricular activities and individual support, it's an outstanding island education for your child's global future. So call 820110 to arrange your visit.
Tune in and chill out with Chris Pearson on Manx Radio.
The Chill Out Show from Manx Radio, Sunday evenings between 7 and 9. A great way to kick back, relax and wind down from your weekend or your workend.
Radio. Chris Pearson, the Sunday Chill Out.
Sundays from 7 till 9.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
First of my good afternoon, 24 minutes before 1. I just want to point you to a show tonight on Max Radio, 6 o'clock after update. The voices behind the TT. We're used to hearing the riders and racers speaking about TT, but in this Unlocking Our Sound Heritage series, Snappy, the team at Manx National Heritage bring us the voices from across the decades of the people who work behind the scenes to make TT happen, from marshals to race suit specialists and some of the fans who visit the Isle of Man every year to enjoy TT. Tune in tonight, 6 o'clock on Manx Radio, the voices behind the TT, or you can listen to the podcast as well. Chris is on Man in Line now. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Andy. I'd like to talk about Mr. Ashford and Dr. Ranson and Dr. Glover. It feels like deja vu to me. Because if you think about it, a while back, maybe a year, 18 months ago, Mr. Ashford was going to give us a full rebuttal on Dr. Glover and the way that she was threatened, maybe dismissed. I'm not quite sure how it went. But we've never had the full rebuttal yet from Mr. Ashford. He's never apologised for Dr. Ranson, not once. I feel that he thinks it's not his fault. And what I'd also like to say is, you know, he stood down from his position in government only to sit on the back benches. He's still an MHK. He's not going to resign from that. He'll still get his gold-plated pension from the public that he's supposed to serve. I'm sure he'll keep his MBE. I really despair with this. I really do.
Well, why should he resign as an MHK? I mean, this is purely a case of something that happened when he was a DHSC minister, not in his representation of the people of North Douglas.
Well, I just feel that he should resign from everything, because another thing then, Andy, can we really trust what Mr. Ashford said and Dr. Hewitt regarding the COVID outbreak? You know, I believe we're the only country in the world that's supposedly in an endemic. And who's decided that? Is that Mr. Ashford and Henrietta Hewitt? I don't know. You know, I just don't feel that he can be trusted anymore. Would you want to trust him as your MHK? Me, personally, I wouldn't.
Well, all the way through the pandemic, the lockdown and everything, do you remember Mr. Ashford? It was almost his mantra to say, we're following the clinical advice. And obviously he was getting advice, but, you know, he's not a medical expert himself. So if you don't buy a dog and bark yourself.
Absolutely true. So if he's following clinical advice, why did he get rid of Glover and Ranson? Or why were they dismissed? You know, if you read the press reads very bad for them all, apart from these two people. You know, so we get rid of the good people and keep the bad ones. Yeah, that's really going to help the island, isn't it? Yeah.
Mm. Well, we'll see. Yeah. All I'll say is Mr. Ashford topped the poll in North Douglas.
Yeah, he did at that time. But, you know, did people really understand the deceit that was going on in the background? Well, we didn't, did we, at that time? So, yeah, I understand that, Andy. But, you know, there was a lot going on underneath that we weren't privy to.
Okay. No, I appreciate that, Chris.
Thank you. Thanks,
all right,
Andy.
Good
bye.
To talk to you. Thank you. A note in from Fred, who said 800 years ago, the sea level in the Irish Sea was a lot higher than it is today. Harlech Castle was built around 800 years ago, and it's a well-known fact it was built by the sea because it's got a boat landing to allow replenishment as it was under siege. It's no longer near sea level. That's a fact, not a model prediction. I prefer facts to model predictions. Thank you, Fred, in Port Erin. Appreciate that. It may be something to do, and I'm not saying it is, but perhaps it's something to do with the fact that the Great Britain is tilting slightly from west to east, isn't it? That's why the tide never goes out in Morecambe. The tide never comes back in Morecambe and Southport, and houses are falling into the sea by Scarborough and Whitby. And they're just letting the sea reclaim the land in parts of East Anglia. That may be the case. We don't know. But the important thing, what I'm aiming to do, is to get as much information out as possible so we can all make a decision on where we stand. This sustainable future, the green future, whatever you want to call it, the ecological future, is racing towards us. Now, what we make of that
is up to us. It's going to happen come what may. It's possibly best that we have a stake in it rather than it being done for us. And to that end, let's just get out as much information as possible as to where we stand. And I hope you enjoyed A.D. Cowan on yesterday, senior Met man from Ronald's Way Met Office. 39 years. Now, questions have been raised about why Isle of Man Private Transport Sector can't help bus vanning to avoid cancellations. More than 100 bus services have been cancelled recently, and TT starts this week. They've been blamed on a shortage of drivers. Well, as that caller said earlier on, there's a shortage of drivers everywhere in the British Isles. Jason Morehouse, MHK, says, though, that the issue now is more than just that.
When you've actually got the need for bus drivers, when there's the training taking place and encouraging people to stay with bus vanning, that's important. But it's also equally important to ensure that the local services are there and people who need a bus have got a bus when they require it. And there have been so many cancellations recently, that's really a concern. And it seems to be more an issue with the timetabling than the actual availability of bus drivers. I know there was a particular figure given by the minister quite recently, but when you actually talk to the bus drivers, there does seem to be an emphasis on getting more and more routes out. And it's quite interesting that when the last timetable was updated several days ago, there was that clear emphasis on actually providing more services. And you think, is this the right thing to do? Especially when the cruise ship market's coming in and there's a question that's actually looking at that, how are we actually going to ensure there are provision for the cruise ships at the same time when local services need to be actually looked after. And I asked the minister a question on this 2 weeks ago, and he kind of was very reassuring that local services would be a priority. But it was quite interesting that last Monday we had services being cancelled, and at the same time there's at least one bus van in awaiting visitors from the cruise ship. And it's a difficult one. I recognise it's not an instant solution, but when people are seeing two things happening, we need to get clarity. We need to ensure that if it is a timetable that's wrong, that that is resolved and sorted out. Bus vanning's got clear routes. They've got a clear timetable. They're aware when bus drivers are off, there's that possibility to have a relationship with tours. Whether or not it's actually using the tours coaches, the tours drivers, I'm sure there could be some negotiations that enable that bridge to be crossed and some solution to be resolved. Because at the moment, it just a case that too many services are being cancelled and it's starting to impact on the reputation of the service, which was seen as a good, reliable thing on the island. And it's now a regular feature of island life that another bus has been cancelled.
Onken MHK Rob Callister's warning the Department of Infrastructure must be proactive as we head to TT.
What I'm trying to avoid, and it's more of a warning, a pre-warning to the DOI and especially to the minister, is to actually to make sure the infrastructure is ready, because what I don't want to see is to suddenly find that we have hundreds of visitors at the airport or this ferry terminal waiting for transport and there's no transport there. We've had no TT for 2 years. We need to bounce back, and the whole of the island needs to be ready for this influx of visitors. We haven't had visitors, you know, since March 2020, we've had some visitors come into the island, but not at the numbers we're expecting for the TT. The whole of the island has to be ready and prepared. And I think we are. I think we really are.
That's Rob Callister talking about this. If you've got anything to say on this, please, on the phone, 66 13 68, text 166 177, email studio@manxradio.com. A note in from Paul who said, Andy, are you aware the new government running the airport car park has taken away concessions for disabled parking? Is that true? This is lacking empathy, says Paul. How sad the government's let these people take over airport car parking. Well, the app started today. Pam said, personally, I think David Ashford did a great job in extremely difficult circumstances. Nothing to compare it with. The mistake he made in it was being too good at his job and getting a reward from the Queen. To me, at the risk of upsetting some people, that I think this is Manx Crabs. He got to the top of the bucket, was sitting on the edge, and others had a way of find a way of getting him back down to the bottom. Pam says that about David Ashford. How much is the carbon offsetting costing for the TT, says Ian? We're getting to the bottom of that, and that whole thing about the TT being carbon neutral. Here's a message in just saying, Douglas Borough Council are going to fortnightly bin collection to save money. So why have they just spent who knows how much on putting festoon lights on South Quay when there's nothing over there in the way of cafeterias? That's Texter 692. However, they do look very nice from North Quay. Maybe that's the reason. Here's another one. It appears David Ashford's been made a scapegoat, says June. Throughout being Minister for Health, he was advised. The question is, by whom? Any thoughts on this? David Ashford's resignation, surely since he's resigned, perhaps Henrietta Ewart should resign, since the report seems to have been directly implicated her in the bullying case. This is Ian's point of view. This is the case of Dr. Rosalind Ranson. Well, we'll find out more. There is going to be an independent review into the conduct of COVID. Perhaps that will form part of it. Well done, David Ashford, says Liz. Delivered with professionalism, his usual professionalism, a lesson to many other politicians. Mr. Ashford personally has nothing to apologise for, as far as I'm concerned, not to mention the terrible comments his family has had to endure. I thought he was very dignified. Well, that's the whole issue, isn't it? Social media has arrived in the past 15 years, and social media comments are often unattributable, and often there's no recourse in them. But it's one of those things. Social media can vary from being the sublime to the ridiculous to the repugnant. But that's social media. A note in just says, the postman delivers our mail and parcels since forever. And a message in, this is WhatsApp in, just says, Andy, my letters and parcels are delivered by the same person. I don't get my mail till mid-afternoon, about 2 o'clock. It's not a problem to me or anyone else that I know. The parcels are only left in a designated area, or a card left if you're not in, and won't be left unless you have signed up to have it left in a designated place. Why are we arguing about the environment, says Dewan. Surely it's just common sense to look after everything. So are we more concerned with being right than pulling everybody together, working out to ensure our impact on the planet suits our conscience? The divide that's created just because people would rather have one up, I think, is a bit desperate. And I'll just go back to my point, and what we're aiming to do on Man in Line is to get as much information out as possible. It's inevitable some people will personalise matters. That's human nature. Doesn't mean anybody's right or anybody's wrong. Everybody has an opinion. And it's welcome here.
When it comes to building and DIY supplies, shop where the professionals shop. Haldane Fisher for concrete blocks to roof trusses, timber to tiles, doors to panel pins, boilers to bathrooms, drainage to guttering, and everything in between. Get the job done with the right products from Haldane Fisher. Visit our stores in Douglas and Ramsey, or find us online on Facebook. Proud to be on Ireland.
Feel right at home with Haldane Fisher.
15,000 pounds discount.
Yep.
I can buy a new Maxus electric van at Outdoor Power and Plant with up to 15,000 pounds discount.
Yes, I keep telling you.
It really is taking the savings to the Maxus. Get it?
Flipping heck. Up to £15,000 discount on a new Maxus at Outdoor Power and Plant. They've great deals on conventional diesel vans too. So head down to Snugborough Trading Estate or phone 611 341 for details.
Love your top. Where did you get it? That new place, the Electric Convective? The what? Oh, it's great. They've so much. Men's and women's clothing and footwear, school uniforms, plus vintage collectibles, handmade things, and such amazing value.
Do you mean the Eclectic Collective at Balfane Estate?
That's the place.
Top fashion brands like Converse and Skechers to jewellery, crockery and more. Search the Eclectic Collective Balasella on Facebook or call 339 807.
The Eclectic Collective. Remember the name.
If the costs you're being quoted to sell your house are driving you crazy, it's time to see Red.
CG Red is the revolutionary fee-busting service that lets you sell any properties up to £350,000 for a fixed fee of just £750. That's the lowest commission on the island. And with all the backing of Cowley Groves, the island's leading independent estate agent. Visit cgred.im now for details. Buy, sell and save when you see red.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Cast of mine, 9 minutes before one. And if you want to get in touch out of hours, by all means, the answer phone's on 682631. Email out of hours is maninline@manxradio.com. And also, very shortly, we're going to be awarding a prize every week. I've never done this since I started Man in Line in 1998. We've never awarded prizes on Man in Line, but we've got some brand new Man in Line tea towels. I'm not kidding you. A tea towel will be awarded every week to Contribution of the Week. Completely decided by me and Barry. I disagree. I think it's a great move by the post office. Should have been done years ago, says Ginger John. Regarding sea levels, just a thought, says C. Maybe the missing water's gone down the holes in the seabed, caused by all the missiles being fired into the oceans. Actually, I got a note from Maz about that. I think it was a couple of days ago. And Maz said, what happens to the holes in the seabed when the gas and the oil comes out? Do they pump seawater back into it? There must be an awful lot of sea. I don't know. We'll find out more about that. Tomorrow, by the way, Chris Thomas, MHK, is on Man in Line. Chris Thomas is chair of that housing committee, Housing and Communities Committee, it's called. So we'll talk to Chris tomorrow. Lots to talk about. This housing crisis that they talk about. Whether there's a homeless crisis on the Isle of Man. Also, the whole point about private landlords being under regulation, but municipal public landlords not being under regulation. I wonder what he thinks about that. If you've got a question about housing, whether it's getting first-time buyers onto the ladder, government schemes, whether they're working anymore, rentals, landlords, whatever you want to talk about, the Housing Committee Chair, Chris Thomas, MHK, is on Man in Line. It'd be good to hear from you tomorrow with Chris Thomas. And do you remember a few weeks ago we were talking about geothermal energy? And Fred Gray was on, and with his pal, we were talking about that, and we heard about this fact that there was a commercial one going on in Cornwall. Well, Barry's tracked down the managing director of that, Hazel Farndale, and we'll be hearing from Hazel later on this week. Experts about how the Isle of Man may be able to tap into heat believed to exist beneath rocks. Geothermal energy. So we've got the managing director of that development. It's a commercial development and it's in Cornwall. We'll be finding that out later on this week. That new airport app's in operation at Ronald's Way. After a week's delay, Ringo means if you park at the airport, you can pay through an app on your smartphone or pay over the phone. The political member with responsibility for ports is Tim Glover, MHK. This is what you do.
The quickest and easiest way is this app, the Ringo app. It can be downloaded free from the Apple and Google Play stores. But anyone who doesn't have a smartphone, they can call 01624 if you're off island, needs top up, 825717, 825717. A payment can also be made online using a pre-registered card at ringo.co.uk. And also there is the option of visiting the information desk inside the Isle of Man Airport building and paying, giving you a vehicle registration and using a payment by card. The other side of it, there's no hidden charges. What you pay is what you pay. There is a text thing that you can opt in for to get a confirmation that you've secured your car parking, but also and you get a reminder as well about it. 10p those are, but it's opt-in. So unless you opt in, you don't get those charges.
With this being a UK-based app, is actually recognising Manx registration plates. What assurances can you give that people will actually, we've seen cars coming in and out already in the last few minutes. How can you give assurances to people that when they do come here, that their licence plate is actually recognised in the system?
It does. Simple as.
A message in from Brian, who just said, we're going to look really silly if cruise ships come in and we don't have buses for them. Surely they're making certain by putting Isle of Man transport buses there. Well, we'll certainly get to the bottom of that. And Dave said, Andy, they do the postal thing at Governor's Hill already. They don't leave the mail out. It'll be put through letterboxes, as was stated by the post office. And John said, about the buses, why don't you ask about the staff to the union, and why don't they just give all the bus drivers a pay rise to the same rate? All drivers should be on the same rate of pay. There are apparently, says John, there are 7 different contracts. If everyone got the same rate of pay and overtime, then that would be fine. Maybe they wouldn't be cancelling services, as people would actually be willing to work their rest days as it was worthwhile. So, John, that's the message in regarding the buses, and more to talk about that. Loads of text coming in about the app and whether it's working at the airport, and also the TT app. We'll try to get to the bottom of that. A message in that just says, the postmen and ladies who deliver on Port Erin deliver the parcels no problem, says Dave. And a message in that just says, Mr. Ashford is right. You can't get rid of the culture of bullying and belittling, which I think is rife. That's it. WINT